Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to today's Caffeine for the Soul. And you made it. This is part five of our five-part excerpt from Supercoach 10 Secrets to Transform Anyone's Life. And today's installment is called The Beginner's Guide to Sharing the Three Principles. And on the off chance you aren't familiar with the three principles, you could pick up pretty much any book I've ever written and any article I've ever written. Or for a more focused introduction, you can go to michaelneal.org and click on the link called The Basics. Enjoy. I began this session with a quote from Richard Bach's wonderful book, Illusions. Argue for your limitations, and sure enough, they're yours. I'll put it somewhat less poetically here, but hopefully with equal strength. Argue for your possibilities, and sure enough, you'll find much more capacity and ability inside yourself than you ever dreamed possible. I hope that by this point in our time together, you've begun to see that you're far more than you're thinking, and that your potential to impact the world is effectively beyond your imagination. So I'd like to bring this session, and indeed our time together, to a close with an invitation. The invitation to live with hope, with the awareness that we're all more capable than we think. There's no movement to join, no manifesto to sign. Just a gentle reminder and an open invitation to be the difference maker in someone else's life, and to be open to having that difference made in your own. Tell someone you see the potential in them. Mean it. Demonstrate it in the way you treat them. Then stand back and watch their life begin to blossom and bloom. If you'd like to share the three principles with others, here are a few phrases that one of our Supercoach Academy graduates, Nikki Welch, used to sum up the potential impact of this understanding on the way we help others and live our lives. Oh well. My friend Kathy Casey is a kind of inmate whisperer who has used her understanding of the three principles to help countless people in the prison system reconnect with their innate wisdom and well-being, and where possible, reintegrate with society after their incarceration with a remarkably low rate of recidivism. She has told me on many occasions of the startling realization that many of the prisoners had when they first began to see that experience comes via thought, not from other people or circumstances in the world. Had I known then what I know now, they would say with regret and sometimes horror, I wouldn't have done what I did. Oh well, Kathy would say, eyebrows arched in both acceptance and recognition of the fact that recognizing innocence and accepting consequences are not mutually exclusive. For myself, I first really got this when I was beating myself up for all the suffering I put myself through as I did my best to cope with years of depression and suicidal ideation that I never dreamed were the result of a simple misunderstanding of where my feelings and experience actually came from. The principles-based psychiatrist William Pettit asked me to consider that no matter how long someone has been stumbling around in the dark, when the lights come on, they have two choices. They can beat themselves up for the damage they did when it was dark, or they can be grateful for the light. Since that day, with each new insight I have into how things really work and how much more gracefully I am able to handle life when I see the invisible energies behind it, I have done my best to say, oh well, make amends where I can, and gratefully move forward with a higher level of understanding and compassion than before. Which brings us to phrase two, me too. There is a myth that seems common to pretty much everybody who learns about the nature of mind, consciousness, and thought, that when they really understand how things work, they'll never be unhappy, make mistakes, or struggle ever again. Which is a bit like expecting studying gravity to make you immune to its effects. Unlike Wile E. Coyote in every Roadrunner cartoon ever, gravity pulls us toward the ground long before we think to look down and see how far we have to fall. These principles are fully explanatory and highly predictive because they're in play whether we know about them, like them, or believe in them. Which means that all of us who study them tend to have a lot of compassion for the suffering of others. Like them, we get caught up in our thoughts from time to time. And like them, when we do, we're prone to stress, pressure, insecurity, and all the other feelings that come with the illusion that our feelings are coming at us from the outside world, instead of from the invisible energy of thought taking form inside us. So while we may not take our suffering to heart in the same way, knowing that thought is a transient energy that ebbs and flows on its own without needing or benefiting from our intervention, we still fall for the illusion and feel it just the same. In fact, Every time I'm starting to feel proud of how much my understanding of these principles is helping me cope with truly difficult circumstances, I get caught out. Because at some point it becomes apparent to me that it's not my depth of understanding that's helping me cope. It's my lack of understanding that's making it look as though there's something outside me I need to cope with. Fortunately, we have phase three. Next, Mara Olson, the co-founder of the One Solution Global Initiative and one of my daughter's favorite human beings on the planet, was sharing a story at a recent training about the first time she had to present the principles to what she perceived to be a hostile audience. Each time she started to go down a rabbit hole of self-doubt, she recognized that those thoughts weren't going to take her anywhere useful and heard a voice inside her own head call out, "Next!" and call forth something fresh. Like going back to the drawing board and starting a new page instead of desperately trying to fix the old one. We are innately resilient because there are an infinite number of blank pages in the universe, and this capacity for fresh thought is one of the most hopeful implications of the principles. We are naturally creative because we're not stuck with our habitual thinking, no matter how many years we've been thinking it. We don't even have to find a better way. We can just let go of what we know doesn't work and make space for something better to come along. And because of the infinite creative potential of the deeper mind, something better inevitably will. Which brings us to a fourth phrase, my own personal favorite, one that I hear myself saying more than any other in my coaching and teaching. No, really. There was a lovely moment on one of our programs when one of the participants was sharing his anxiety about going out into the world and actually speaking to people about what was possible for them, without having any tools or techniques to hold on to. When the person coaching him gently asked him where he thought that experience of anxiety was coming from, he seemed confused. Then his eyes lit up. "Do you mean that this isn't just a positive philosophy? I'm actually feeling thought in the moment, not the stress of a future challenge?" In that one moment of insight, his level of consciousness shifted, and his experience of his experience changed. Instead of looking like the natural result of trying something new, his anxiety now looked like what it was, the feeling of thinking anxiously about an imaginary future. Since thinking anxiously about an imaginary future didn't seem like a good idea to him, he was willing to let that thinking pass through, and as inevitably happens, new thoughts came along that inspired him and took his experience in a different and more helpful direction. So if you're wondering whether or not this will work for you, all I can tell you is to look for yourself and see what you can see. And if you get stuck, don't really get it, or are beating yourself up for all the things you would have done differently had you understood this earlier, oh well, me too. Next. No. Really. I hope you've enjoyed this series. I wanted to wrap it up by sort of highlighting three of what I see as the key points behind the power of hope. First is that hope is the gateway to new possibilities. It isn't a promise that something you want will happen. It's an invitation to enjoy the possibility of what you want while you and life negotiate the eventual outcome. Second, there is never a good reason not to hope. And finally, you can't think your way out of a problem you've made up with your thinking. Have fun, learn heaps, and I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now.